We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Let's get back to our next prediction, Ryan. We're going to stay out west for the next big game. And the Pac-12 has two huge games this weekend. And arguably the biggest is not actually USC-UCLA. I would argue that the biggest is actually Oregon against Utah. Now, the UCLA-USC game has more college football playoff implications because I'm someone who believes if USC wins out, they've got a really good shot at getting in the college football playoff. I know other people, or the national people, don't agree with that. But if you beat UCLA, Notre Dame, and then either Utah or Oregon in the conference championship game, that's going to be a very strong resume for USC as they get ready to go into the postseason. So, but as far as just like the best game, which one has the biggest impact for potential, you know, Pac-12 title games? I think this one is actually a little bit bigger than that one. Maybe that's just me as well, but Utah is number 10 in the country at 8-2. Oregon is also 8-2. They're number 12. They're coming off of a devastating home loss to Washington, which eliminated their college football playoff hopes. But they're still very much alive in the Pac-12 championship race, Ryan. They are, I believe, still in control of their own destiny. Oregon, if they win the next 2 weeks, they are in the conference championship game because then there would only be them and USC as potential one-loss teams. Utah would have a second conference loss. Right now, they only have one. Oregon and Utah are both sitting there at 8-2, but they both only have one conference loss. They both have non-conference losses. Oregon obviously lost to Georgia, and Utah lost to Florida. So, Ryan, let's look at this game. It's obviously going to be at it's one of those crazy night games. I don't understand why they continue to do this, but it's a 10:30 game. Number 10 Utah at number 12 Oregon. It's going to be in Outson Stadium. It's going to be an intriguing matchup. It's a new staff at Oregon. How will they handle the beatdowns? I mean, absolute beatdowns that Utah gave them last year twice.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Because Oregon last year under Cristobal was really ascending and they were having a really good season. And, you know, they were getting a lot of hype. And I was talking about them too, because you looked at their only loss and could they be a playoff team? And CP said, no, you can't. You lost to Stanford. But That was when, if you remember, Joe Moorhead got rushed to the hospital right before the game. And so they played that game without their offensive coordinator, and there was a lot of other extenuating circumstances. It was in early October. They were kind of rolling. They had beat Cal. They beat UCLA. They beat Colorado. They beat Washington. They beat Washington State. They were 9-1. They were ranked really high. They were playing a three-loss Oregon team. They were number three in the country. They were playing a three-loss Oregon State team, and they got absolutely destroyed, 38-7. 2 weeks later, Ryan, you're sitting there thinking to yourself, well, Oregon's going to get themselves some payback this week because of what happened in the college football playoff. There's no way that Oregon's going to be okay with that. There's no way they're not in the Pac-12 championship game. There's no way they're going to let Oregon do that to them again. They're going to be mad. They're going to be upset. They're going to be want this, going to want that. And they did it to them again. And Utah beat them. You know, the score was almost identical. It was 38-7 the first time. The second game was 38-10. And just absolutely dominant performances in both games, Ryan. They ran, Utah ran for 208 yards the first game and just played bully ball. And then they ran for 191 in the second game. And they could have gone for even more if they didn't call off the dogs in the second half of both games. How does Oregon respond to last week's loss? How do they handle that? There's a lot of storylines that make this really a fascinating game, Ryan. You've got the oldest, most, I believe, the second most or most tenured coach in all of college football. It's either Kirk Ferentz. Kirk Ferentz the longest. Him and Kyle Whittingham are, I believe, the two most tenured at their current school coaches in college football versus the young buck and Dan Lanning. So there's just a ton of great storylines. So, Ryan, there it is, Oregon and Utah. I know where you're going with this, but what's your prediction? And then where are you in regard to how you see this game playing out?
The Pac-12 is so much fun this year, Brian. I think it is because you're seeing USC, UCLA be better than what they have been over the last few years. You're seeing Oregon, I think, outplay expectations when you compare the fact that, like, hey, they're bringing in a new coach and there's a new culture and what's it going to look like in year one conversation with Dan Lanning and how's that one going to land? And I really think that there's a lot of teams at the top of the Pac-12 that are just not separated by much. You know, like that's why I think almost every week you can see a team knock off the other. So this one was probably the toughest game we picked all week in this week's predictions. I almost went back and forth with this one probably three or four times. Ultimately, one thing that you talked about a little bit, I think Utah can play bully ball in this game. And I think that they can control the pace of this offense because this is what I believe is that Oregon's going to score some, right? They're going to have some plays where you mentioned Franklin and Bo Nix having a good year and Irving, the running back that's has had a pretty good year for the most part. They have some weapons offensively where they're going to cause some issues for Utah when they're on defense. But I ultimately think that what Utah's been doing lately with Tavian Thomas at running back, he's really starting to get going down the stretch, being able to run the football. And I think that the passing game is just good enough. You know, like there's just not a lot of – Cam Rising's not a star, but he's a solid quarterback that doesn't usually shoot the team in the foot. Mm-hmm. Like he usually keeps you on script, and they're able to run the football pretty well, especially down the stretch here. So I'm going to say Utah controls the pace in this one. They beat they beat Oregon in this one, and this I really think that this is just going to kind of be a jockeying back and forth at the top of the Pac-12, a conference that is not separated by a ton up top. So give me Utah 28-27. I think this one is one where Utah gets an early lead. They're able to control the pace. Oregon comes storming back late because they have some weapons that are able to mount a comeback. But it just falls a little bit short in this one as Utah is able to run the football and come out with a 28-27 victory.
I'll tell you the part that surprised me, I fully expected you to pick Utah for just all the conversations we've had all year about it's not a criticism. It's just I know your view on both teams. And I thought I think I know you well enough to see that Utah, the higher ranked team, is going to win. That's not a shot or anything like that. It's just that's where I thought you would go. I was surprised by, Ryan, and this is what I wanted to get you to follow up on, I was actually surprised that the score was down as much as it was, 28-27. Because if you look at some of the games that we've seen when Utah has played in some of these big conference games, and same with Oregon, that, you know, Utah, look at, the, you know, 42-32 against UCLA, 43-42 against USC. Those are their two big games. Oregon this year in their big games, you know, it was 44-41 against Washington State, 45-30 against UCLA, and then 37-34 against Washington last week. Do you think there's going to be a little bit of sloppiness in the two offenses, or do you think the defenses for both teams are going to step up, and that's why you're seeing the game be more of a not that it's a 28-27 is a low-scoring game, but for these teams, I would say that it is a low-scoring game when you look at how they've both performed in these moments.
I think it's a mixture of everything. I think that there's going to be a little bit of sloppy play. I think the defenses are going to play better than they have for the majority of the season. But more than anything, Brian, I think for Utah to win this football game, they need to control the pace of this game. Because if they let it get to a point where it's a 40-something, 37 type of game, I think Oregon has the advantage in that one. Because I think they just have more firepower offensively, out wide especially. We talked about Troy Franklin, who I think is an excellent football player. If it gets too high scoring, I think Oregon comes out on top. But this is kind of the spot where I think Utah is going to feel comfortable in this game with their ability to run the football and control the clock a little bit.
So you're saying that because Utah is going to win, it's going to be because they've run the ball, the pass game is efficient, they're able to kind of keep that Oregon offense off the field. I got you.
100%.
Okay, makes total 100% sense. I went a different direction on this. I have Oregon winning. I not only have Oregon winning, I have Oregon winning 41-31. I don't think this game is going to be as competitive. And part of it, Ryan, is I'm sort of banking on something from the last 2 weeks to be true. If I'm wrong, then Utah's going to win this game, because if Utah plays like it did the last 2 weeks, they have looked really good the last 2 weeks in dominating. They beat Arizona 2 weeks ago, 45-20. They blew out Stanford last week, 42-7 in a game, Ryan, that wasn't it 42-7 at halftime? I don't think they scored a point in the second half. They just, you know, in an attempt to not embarrass Stanford, it wasn't that they just played bad in the second half. They just like, look, we're not going to embarrass Stanford this way.
Calling off the dogs.
But, they could have scored 70 in that game easily if they wanted to. They did it with great rush. They pounded the ball. They absolutely pounded the football. They, you know, you look at the success they had the last 2 weeks. They ran for 306 against Arizona. They ran for 279 against Stanford, 7.8 yards per carry. But if you look at before that, Ryan, not really since the Florida Southern Utah games has the ground attack really looked that good. And so as I kind of dig into the matchup a little bit, say, okay, well, Arizona's rush defense is giving up 218.8 yards per game and 5.9 yards per rush. Arizona went for 306 and 5.7. Stanford's defense is giving up 222 yards a game and 6.0 yards a rush. Utah went for 279 and 7.8. So obviously they played two really bad rushing teams and two teams that are just not good at stopping the run. Oregon is giving up 108.2 rushing yards per game. Part of that is because they have played some teams in some of their big games that just don't run the football very well, right? The last three games, Washington, Colorado, and California, they've held them to 74, 120, 114 yards. Well, those teams don't run the ball very well. They held Washington State to 53 yards. They don't run the ball very well. But they also held Georgia at only 132 yards, partly because they couldn't stop Georgia from throwing the football. I mean, that helped too. You know, but their run defense has been a very underrated aspect of this game. And so where I'm coming from, Ryan, is I think Utah's ground attack the last couple weeks has been a little bit of fool's gold for me. That's where I'm kind of coming from. And if I'm wrong about that, then I think Utah wins. I think you're correct. Utah wins. The other part of it for me is I think that the loss to Washington last week was going to be a little bit of a smack in the face to Oregon. We've only seen Oregon really struggle twice this season, in my view, Ryan. And in both times, I thought they responded really well the next week. They got destroyed by Georgia in the opener and came out against a good FCS Eastern Washington team and put 70 on them. They struggled a little bit with Washington State, came out the next 2 weeks and had convincing wins over Stanford, Arizona, UCLA. They kind of went on a roll. I thought they made a dumb coaching move last week. I just still don't understand Dan Lanning's call to go for a fourth down with your backup quarterback. It didn't make a lot of sense to me. I don't think that cost them the game. It was the last thing that happened that cost them the game. I thought Washington just outplayed them in that game, to be honest with you. I thought Washington was a better team that game. I think they're going to respond. And the reason that I think Utah is going to have a little bit of trouble in this game, Ryan, is because I just don't have a lot of faith in the Utah defense. And you and I have talked about this a lot this year. This is not a vintage Utah defense. They're a little bit schizophrenic, in my opinion. The run defense some weeks looks good, other weeks not so good. But the pass defense is really what the problem is, which is kind of wild when you consider they have the best defensive back in the conference in Clark Phillips. I mean, I don't know if anyone's even in the conversation with him. Would you have anyone even in the conversation with him? That's the problem.
Right. I mean, Clark has a great conversation to be in the best corner in college football this year, you know, he's excellent to your point. It's interesting, man. I feel like one thing has to give in this football game, Brian. Like, I think that there's, because you're right.
Let me just add this real quick to Ryan's point.
Yep.
Despite not getting targeted very often, Clark Phillips has 5 interceptions and 2 of which he's taken back for touchdowns. By the way, I just want to, good that kid's been this year.
Yeah. It's too bad he's too short. Too bad he's too short to play at Notre Dame. So
yeah, thanks, you know, Coach Lee. Yeah.
But I do think that the conversation that you made, and it's a great point, about the rush offense for Utah, I'm buying into it being a trend, but you made a great point that it has been against 2 not great rush defenses. So is that a situation where it is fool's gold, or is Utah just kind of settling in and offensive line is playing better and Tavion Thomas is starting to get downhill? Or is it just the product of who you played on the schedule? So I do think that's a difference maker, though.
I think, Brian, it's a little bit of both. You know what I mean, Ryan? And I just don't think – they're going to run better than they had earlier in the year, middle of the year, but they won't run nearly as well as they did the last 2 weeks. But the final piece to me, Ryan, is, you know, we're talking about Clark Lee. He's brilliant, but the rest of the secondary, to me, is a major problem. And I mean, they have a really tough time stopping teams from throwing the football. You know, they just do. I mean, UCLA, I mean, Dorian Thompson-Robinson ripped them up in that game. You know, I mean, look, Caleb Williams ripped them up. And now they forced a lot of incompletions in that game, more than normal for him, but they just hit big play after big play. You know, I think that teams that have been able to beat them have been able to really rip them up in the passing game. Not beat them, excuse me, play with them, have been able to beat them in the passing game. Even Florida was able to make some plays in the passing game. And Florida can't throw the ball at all. So that's where it came down to, I think. And then also the final piece is it's at Oregon. You know, I mean, if it was at Utah, I'd probably pick a very similar score to what you predicted, Ryan. So I think it's the combination of those things. Oregon has a very good run defense. I think Oregon's balance on offense is going to give Utah's defense, which has been very shaky this year, it's a lot of problems. And then, of course, the home crowd's going to help them. So I went 41-31 Oregon. So that's the thing for me is if it comes down to it, who's got to make more plays? I'm going with Bo Nix over Cameron Rising. Because you said Cameron Rising won't get you beat. But he's a lot – you know who he's like? He reminds me a lot of Ian Book. He won't get you beat, but he's not going to go win you that big game either. He's going to need a lot of help. And I just don't think the run game will be good enough to do that this week. That's where I'm coming from.
I will say I would love to go to an Oregon game. I think that this game is beautiful out there, man. It would be a fantastic game to go to.